There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener describes the mystery of lights turning on in their house when no one is home. An Air Force jet has a reputation all of its own. A listener tells of an unexplained instance when a disabled client seemingly does the impossible. And a good time turns sour when someone brings up their ongoing possession. Hate when people do that shit.
It's no fun.
It's like, just deal with the devil yourself.
Yeah.
No one else needs to know about your pea soup incidences at home, and just keep it to yourself.
Well, it becomes a party trick.
It does. Everyone's possessed these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, no big deal anymore. So there you go. That's on today's show, 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or send me an email. It's T-O-N-Y at realghoststoriesonline.com. My mom had the choice. She's a big fan of Tony, and she picked the one with the Y for the how to spell my name.
Okay.
Actually, she hated pretty much any sort of rap-ish music back in those days. But I remember, like, we would, like, watch, like, the award shows and all that stuff. Not that Tony was all that rap-ish, you know? Mm-hmm. There's more R&B, and I like it. But back was like, I hate that rap stuff. You know, it'd be like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I know.
I get it, you know.
I know.
Jamming out to a lot of Phil Collins, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And I like Phil Collins, but I've expanded my horizons beyond She's an Easy Lover. So there you go. I got a question for you. What on earth was SNICK?
SNICK?
Yeah. Nickelodeon.
Uh-huh.
Remember they used to, somebody put a video up on our Facebook page, and it was an old promo for SNICK. And I have a vague recollection of this being like a block of their programming, and they'd call it SNICK.
Was it Saturday Night Nickelodeon?
Maybe that's what it is.
I think. I don't remember.
It was like a spooky promo, and then it went to, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay.
Which was one of their shows back then. We didn't have cable, so my recollections are few and far between. I just remember if I saw something about SNICK on, it was like, ooh, it must be nighttime spooky time with Nickelodeon. But I also remember Nick at Night for, like, all of our lives.
Well, but that was different.
That was, like, Monday through Friday,
yeah.
I believe. So maybe SNICK was the Saturday night version of...
maybe
they ran. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I also remember Nick at Night being like the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, Mary Tyler Moore.
And it was a lot of black and white. And now it's just really kind of weird and depressing when it's like, oh, like some shows I think on Nick at Night now are like actually beyond us. It's like stuff that was running when we were like teenagers.
I know.
It's not even like what was like Full House was on there for a while and Wings and a bunch of that stuff. Now it's like, oh, that's just, I stopped watching TV with the shows that are now retro shows.
Sure.
So there you go. Is what they define as retro, has that changed over the years?
Well, like retro always changes.
Well, I know it always changes, but does the depth to which it digs, has that changed? Meaning, how far back? Because maybe it's just because we've grown up. Mm-hmm. But retro to me always seemed like it was way long ago. But
that's vintage.
Yeah.
I think retro is more like in the mm-hmm. near past.
I guess is kind of what it was. Because if I remember like being a kid watching Nick at Night mm-hmm. in a hotel with my parents. And it would be shows that they grew up watching. So then it would, when we were watching Nick and Knight with our kids, it was shows we grew up with. So it just, it was perspective. It was, that shit just seemed so far back because it was black and white.
Right.
And we had color TV. And now I guess the analogy is HD to SD.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, look how blurry this stuff is. And it's not, you know, I don't know. Anyway, let's go to some ghost stories. Our first one comes into us from Rebecca. Rebecca says, my previous ghost experiences have happened to me while I was living at my grandparents' house. They have a 4-bedroom house. Are you ringing a bunk bed bell over there?
It was an accident. I put my Dr. Pepper down and bullshit. I touched one.
You wanted me to say bunk bed.
No.
Bunk bed.
I'm not going to ring it for you. Damn. Where's your bell?
Back over there.
I got like 40 bells over here that need to be signed.
I have to sign my part. Yeah, you already did yours. Continuing on, they have a 4-bedroom house and all 4 of their kids had their own room. The kids had grown up and moved out except my aunt. I remember visiting her often at the house, and she was a blast. She'd always play with my sister and it seemed she had it all going for her. Little did I know, at my age, my aunt was mentally unstable. My earliest memories of playing with her at this time, at the time she passed away, were incredibly close in range. I know she died in an institute, and there's speculation regarding her death. Many years later, my family found ourselves living with my grandparents. My dad lived in his sister's old room, the one who passed. My sister and I had our own rooms there, and my mom lived upstairs. Both my parents were kind of absent during my childhood, so my grandma was our primary caretaker. My grandma would always drive us places, whether it was to get food or to go shopping. No matter what, whenever we went out the front door to go to our car, the street light would always go out. And it would stay out until we drove away. Always upon our arrival home, we could see that the light was on in the distance, and when we would approach, the light would go off. This continued for a majority of the time I lived there. I lived in that house up until about last September, when I got my own apartment at age 20. One night, my dad and his friend were in the room he stayed in, and he was painting something on the wall because we were going to repaint the entire room. He's notorious for drawing pictures of whales. As he was painting, his friend snapped a quick picture on a little flip phone she had. It was a low-quality phone, nothing spectacular. As they were looking through the pictures they took, one stood out for a very odd reason. In the middle of this picture was a grayish, dark, black smudge that obviously wasn't on the wall. Inspecting the picture more, they could see a clear, bright-as-day outline of a face smack in the middle of the spot. Eyes, nose, mouth, and all. They called for my sister and I to come look at it, and sure enough, I saw it. Everyone who saw the picture could see clearly that it was a face. I never knew what happened to that phone, but I sure wish I still had that picture so I could send it to you guys. A few days later, my dad and his friend had come across one of my aunt's scrapbooks she used to keep in her drawer. The original drawers were still in there from when what was her room. I remember my grandma and I would look at her scrapbook from time to time. It was filled with pictures of her friends, camping, her cat named Pokey, and other pictures that she had taken within her life. We'd always put it back in that drawer. When they were looking through it, they had seen that all the faces in those pictures were blurred out. It looked as if someone was holding a flame against them. The pictures were in great condition, even after seeing these weird fire-like smudges in all their faces. No one could have possibly did it by themselves. It looked as if it were part of an original picture, but it wasn't because I had seen the scrapbook before my dad showed me the defaced version. I couldn't believe my eyes. After that, nothing too paranormal happened to me until a few years later, until I was around the age of 17. My parents had split, and my mom had this boyfriend who had been killed. He would come to the house often, and we'd always be around him. It was recent after he died that this particular incident happened to my sister and me. We'd asked my grandma to drive us to the store, and it was around 9:30 p.m. We got inside the car and turned on all the lights because we feared the street light. When the light would go out, our driveway was pitch black. I lived across the street from a walking path, so there was nothing but trees until you went about 5 houses down. The light was flickering on and off. It would stay on for about a minute and then go out again. It being the age of the selfie, my sister decided to snap a quick picture of herself. The backdrop of this particular selfie was the edge of our driveway and the hedge that lined the grass up until the concrete. She took the picture and the light went out instantly. My grandma finally arrived to the car and we were on our way. We got back, not thinking about the picture my sister took. She eventually looked at the photo on her phone and she instantly dropped it. She instructed me to look at the picture and said, "Why? What's wrong with it?" Well, there was something in the picture that I won't forget. It was an image of a man who looked like he had something in his hand, a hammer, some sort of tool, and another figure that wasn't noticeable right next to it. Two figures standing next to each other, adjacent to the street lamp. The moment I saw that picture, I got immediate goosebumps because there was absolutely nobody walking on the street. My sister and I kept talking about the picture with each other and knew we had to show my mom. I had her send it to me and I received it, no problem. The following day, my mom was driving us to school and I told my sister to bring up the picture. She went into her phone to locate it and nothing. The photo was gone from her phone. Magically deleted, disappeared. She exclaimed, "The picture is gone, Becca. Even the text I sent you containing it." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe that a photo would just vanish. But it did. These are the ghost stories I've witnessed in my 21 years of life so far. Thank you for taking the time to read them.
It's hard to know if it's all connected or not. If the faces that keep showing up in the pictures are the same faces, or if they're different, but it's weird. It's like something is manipulating the streetlight, and I don't think it's them, where it's like a common thing, because I think she would have mentioned that it's something that happens to her all the time. It sounds like it was just this one particular light when they were around the house, and I'm also assuming that it's not a motion sensitive light of some sort.
Sure. That's an interesting thing with the motion-sensitive lights, because it can go on, it can go off, and sometimes it can be tripped essentially the wrong way, where they're supposed to be tripped to go on, but it can also happen the wrong way, where it can be tripped to go off as well. So that could be a possibility. The images of the friends' faces kind of blurring out of the pictures.
That's a weird one.
I had this friend named Marty when I was a kid.
Don't go there.
And he had these pictures of his family and in these photos and his girlfriend, and then it was weird because they would just disappear.
Are you done?
Marty McFly, I believe, was his name.
Are you done?
I wish I had that sound effect that remember the sound effect they used in that scene where it was like,
okay.
It was just like that. It was almost
just like that.
Suddenly you go in this great movie and also the sound effect is like Picture Page.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sound effect from Picture Page. Remember Picture Page?
No.
Picture Page. Anyway, 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jeff writes in, "This is a story that I've heard, but have never experienced any encounter personally. While on active duty with the USAF, I was stationed in Fairchild Air Force Base in Washington State. We have a jet stationed at Fairchild, tail number 580050, known as Spook 50. As you climb the ladder up the crew chute to get on board the plane, there was a sign that read, 'Welcome aboard Spook 50. The stories about that jet vary. I've heard that one, possibly two people died on the jet, but I cannot confirm that. A couple of the stories I've heard about this plane are that a mariner was working on the jet in the boom pod at the back of the plane, and he was working on the jet alone. He said that while in the boom pod, another person came up and told him there was smoke coming from behind a circuit breaker panel in the front of the plane. The guy went up and saw the smoke coming from the panel, turned electrical power off, and climbed off the plane to tell his supervisor what had happened. And the supervisor told him that there wasn't anyone else on the plane. He was the only one on board. Another story I've heard was that night shift maintenance people would see the storm light on occasionally. The storm light will only come on if an engine generator, auxiliary power unit generator, or a ground generator is on. It won't come on with the aircraft battery power. When the light is seen on, the jet was sitting on the flight line with no power source running. As I've been told, people will yell to a ghost to turn the light off and leave the plane. When they pass by the jet later, the light will be off. Those are stories I cannot confirm, as I have not had any personal experience. One story about the plane that I can say I experienced. I work on the phase dock where we do periodic in-depth inspections of the planes. This plane came in for inspection over the week of Halloween. The inspection was going to be finished. The jet pushed out of the hangar on swing shift. I asked my supervisor if I could work late to do a test run. We got the jet out on the flight line and the sun was already down. Turned all the lights off except for the cockpit instrument lights, making the jet really dark. I really wanted to see something happen. And during the test run, I didn't notice anything unusual. Just before we shut down the engines, a co-worker came into the cockpit from the cargo deck and asked if we had said anything over the aircraft PA speakers. We said no. He said he heard someone behind him yell, "Hey." I was pretty bummed that we never saw anything as spectacular as seeing a ghost, but to hear a co-worker say he heard a voice was cool.
I would be surprised if there weren't more aircraft that had their own story like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, all the things that they have to fly over and do and...
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that, I mean, and there's parts too,
mm-hmm.
you know, parts that go from one aircraft to another that may be reused if possible from a damaged craft of some sort. You know, that's was done or is done. I don't know. In commercial aviation as well, where you have a lot of parts from older planes that if somebody needs something for something that's still in service and not manufactured anymore but still usable, sometimes that goes out. Mm-hmm. There's documented cases. There was an Unsolved Mysteries once of a commercial jet where they saw like the captain or somebody walking through doing a check, and it was not the captain for that plane. And then they described who it looked like, and they tracked it down a little bit more, and as they dug, they discovered that a piece of the plane had been replaced from another plane that recently had been in an accident, and the captain had died, and that part was now in this plane, and the captain that they saw on the plane looked like the captain.
Makes you wonder any other parts in any other planes if they see them too.
Sure. Well, I also wonder the same about automobiles as well, used automobiles.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of times where it's, you know, this or that part, and then it's, you know, you go to the junkyard and find it, and sometimes you don't know what happened to that car that you're getting that part off of. So, kind of creepy. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, if you want our best ghost stories, that's where you become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all that. It's only $5 a month. Kyle writes in, "Hello, Tony. Decided to write into your podcast because I've been finding it fun to listen to occasionally as my guilty pleasure. I had a few stories, but figured this one would be a bit more interesting than others. I want to mention a little bit about myself as I find that I enjoy hearing what I know about the kind of person who's sending you a ghost story so you can weigh their lifestyle or beliefs against the stories. I find that scientific-based people who have careers based in that way of thinking tend to be more credible than people who want to believe and happen to experience things. I'm a Heinz 57, as my father put it. I come from Native American, German, Russian, English, and Scottish heritage. My late father's side of the family is quite religious and firm believers in heaven, hell, the whole deal. My father, being the black sheep of the family, just simply believed that there was no way to know and just to live happy, not doing harm unto others. I'm very much the same way. I used to go to Sunday school and hear about all the sorts of fanciful tales of angels, demons, and especially punishment, but always thought it seemed mean. The other side of my family, my native mother, is more unique, or not if you are also Native American, as they were the medicine men or shamans, witch doctors, whatever it is you would call them. We always had an eagle feather fan with the talon base, the home, sage, sweetgrass, smudges were a regular deal, and I thought nothing of it, as if it were normal to me. I've grown up to be a very technical and scientific thinker. I love listening to podcasts of various science shows to keep up to date on the innovations across the world as I'm working on a double major in physics and biology. I also work full-time as a care aide for the mentally and physically disabled as a graveyard worker. In addition to all this, I run my own computer repair business and IT solutions. I have a healthy skepticism, I'd like to think, of all things paranormal. I do, however, believe that we are more than the sum of our parts. As a follower of quantum physics, it just makes me wonder what other realms are out there that we've no concept of. So what people experience as paranormal could potentially just be something that we will be able to explain in the future in terms of scientific proof. I personally do not remember too much about my childhood experiences, but my mother was and is always adamant on the fact that I used to talk to people in our home that were not there, or relatives that I should have no knowledge of since they passed on before I was born. I've always had the thought that, like most mothers, she was simply embellishing things to make her son seem special or unique in some way. All mothers, I have to believe, give those white lies to their children, but that's besides the point. I have a fairly well-rounded knowledge of spiritual things, as it had been a subject of fascination in the last 4 years. Everybody needs a break from their passions to explore other things, I believe. It also allows for a more well-rounded approach to thinking of bizarre events, I find, as well. Finally, my first story that I'm sharing today is from the group home that I work at. It's a small home, 4 to 5 clients in there. It's just your average home and not a facility. I worked nights by myself alone. Been with the company for about half a year and was getting into the night routine fairly well. I knew all the clients well enough to know their limitations and personalities. My particular home has and still is a wheelchair-based home, so their clients can sometimes crawl, but otherwise are completely disabled in that sense. As I so often do during the night, I was cleaning, specifically mopping. Just finishing up as I hear some low growling type of sound. The home has 2 cats, and I thought I could be responsible, but this bass was well beyond what a feline could produce. I still went to see where the cats were, and I found them both doing something I've never seen. I've yet to see again, which was sit perfectly still side by side outside one client's door, staring at the white door of his room. They were so obsessed with what was going on that when I went to pet them that they sat still and didn't budge. It was like they were focusing on prey. Some cats can do anything at that point, and they still have that single-minded focus. I then heard the sound again. This time it felt like it was coming from the room. However, it was coming out of the room at a horrible, awkward angle. If you know anything about how sound waves carry, you know where the sound should be coming from, if we know the location of the source. Well, I knew exactly where the client was, left, height of his bed, and the direction his face would be pointing, as he has very limited mobility. Outside the door, the sound felt like it was coming the side of his bed and up a ways, like if you had a loudspeaker in the classroom like I did. It was always in the top corner of the room. I was paralyzed when I heard the sound. I never heard at that time before and experienced what other people have called terror, or even or fight or flight is just denied entirely. The 2 main factors to this being so terrifying to me was that the location was horribly wrong. The strength of it. I could feel the reverberations in my chest. You could physically feel the sound in your body. If you've ever been to a concert or sit in a theater and plugged your ears, you just feel the sound waves in your body. It's exactly what I was experiencing, a low, slow, and powerful growl. I should also mention that it was not sleep apnea, as this client has a perfect sleeping pattern. It is still very vivid in my memory to this day. The growling never changed, but only continued for another few moments. The cat sat behind the front of the door, staring at the entire time, the blank white painted wooden door. It was as if we'd had them stuffed. The next thing I hear inside the room is the sound of the motorized hospital bed rising up. This further terrified me and made me unable to react. To give your listeners an idea of why, I'll explain. The client is not very mobile. He had a brain tumor removed and lost use of his left side of his body, and his right is very weak, little muscle density. Can't sit up and has a hard time just keeping his head upright. The location of the control for the bed is at the front of the bed, on a little hook. He also has severe mental development issues and is essentially a 1-year-old. Even if he got to the front of the bed frame to grab the controller from the bed, he would then have to use 1 of 12 buttons on the bed to raise it into the air. You can tell that it was going up in the air because the entire thing was squeaking, and it gradually was changing the angle of the sound coming out higher and higher. This was just so out of my comfort zone at this point, as it defied what I assumed was a stringent reality full of explained things and not of these inexplicable events. Those campfire tales, as it were. I listened to it come to a full stop. Cat's just ever vigilant and still. The growl was heard once more in a slightly different location, and the cats moved towards the door and sat close, one pawing lightly at the paint. I could not move. It's been less than a minute of me standing there like a deer in the headlights. I had so many thoughts rushing into my head to possibly explain it, but nothing was coming up right. Yes, some clients can hide what they're capable of sometimes, but even then, I didn't explain why there was this sound coming from down off what seemed like the ceiling into the corner of the room, not to mention the cats. I hated that the cats were there watching the blank white piece of wood that is the door, as it somehow gave validity to the fact that I was not imagining the entire thing. A growling stopped a few seconds later. The sound of the bed could be heard as the gears whined into life once again. I could only stay there frozen as the bed shifted around in ways I was not sure of yet. I'd stepped back and began to breathe again as the growling never came back. Slowly, I regained my composure and courage. I opened the door to his room. Contrary to what I wanted to do, I had to make sure the client was safe. The guilt of my previous inaction driving the action now. As the door slid open, the doors are all sliding wooden ones. The cats ran into the darkness first, which relieved me a great deal as the door was parted only 5 inches or so. I cautiously reached my hand in to flick the nearby light switch. Only when the light was on did I fully open the door. I was at the point where I was imagining something horrific in the dark corner, but the sound came from, and knew I would not sleep peacefully ever again if this were to happen. As the door revealed the room and its occupant, I was in shock. The client, who should have no idea how to operate the bed, was now sitting up. He'd somehow used the controls to only raise the bed and then elevate himself to a sitting position perfectly. Out of 12 buttons. However, that wasn't what shocked me the most. The client was naked, completely unclothed from head to toe, and the clothing was scattered in every direction in the room, on the dressers, wardrobe, by the door, windowsill, everywhere. His client can't even sit up, let alone take off his diaper and socks. Yet, he had somehow flung these items across the room in all directions, even behind him. He has no use of his left arm at all. He has very little muscle density, so he can't or should not be able to throw his pants onto the wardrobe across the room. The whole scene screamed to me as unbelievable and wrong. Yet, even still, this was not the worst part of coming into the room. After a second of taking in the surroundings of what was done, I realized something. He was looking around at the ceiling. He was staring so intently at the ceiling, specifically the corners. He'd rotate his head and look from left to right as if following something that was still moving around. He didn't even acknowledge the fact that I was speaking to him. Usually he'll focus on the person speaking. The cats at this time were simply walking around the room and not staring up at the ceiling, thankfully, as I was at my limit. I kept all the lights on after that for several days, as I never wanted to experience anything like that again. After telling this tale to my coworkers, they have no idea what went on either. Several clients have died in this home before, as is the case of care homes, but I never thought anything of it. Whatever this experience was is still a mystery to me, and it also humbles my views on what I think I know about the world, and there are things out there that can't currently be explained.
That's terrifying. I mean, there's just no explanation for that. I don't even know if that's a ghost that did that or something much darker.
It's very, very bizarre.
It is very bizarre.
I guess sometimes it may take experiences, you know, in that vein to take people from kind of where they were. Yeah, I kind of think other stuff probably exists too. Yeah, there's something else going on here.
Yeah,
when you experience it firsthand. Do you think it will ever be explained as far as the world of ghosts or the paranormal? Do you think science will ever take that, into a realm of it other than, you know, just like paranormal sciences, but like literally have some sort of explanation, have some, oh yes, this is happening because of this plane or that frequency, and this is how this works, and that, you know, and it to be
this completely acceptable by everyone because of new understandings and things of that nature?
I think so. I mean, I think like with anything, you know, maybe the technology doesn't exist yet
mm-hmm.
for us to be able to grasp that. But I think enough people have had things that they say without a shadow of a doubt have happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And enough of those people are going to pursue that. And somebody's going to find some sort of technology, some sort of way to prove that this has been going on. I don't think anybody's ever going to give up on that.
In our lifetime?
I don't know about in our lifetime or not. Maybe.
Be interesting. I suppose, you know, the first time somebody discovered, like, magnetic activity, they probably thought ghosts.
Maybe.
You know? It's like when this object reacts to that object this way, what is going on? Mm-hmm. You know? So I suppose, you know, maybe some of these other things can be explained at some point. But obviously, it's going to take quite an explanation for having Aunt Gertrude show back up.
Yeah.
And how is this happening? Why is this happening? Let's hope it doesn't happen anytime soon, because we wouldn't have a show at that point. Be like, well, it's explained. Done.
I don't know about that.
People would probably still want to hear the experiences.
Yeah.
Even if it was explained.
It's the story is what people tune in for.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't discuss a lot of the equipment or the science. You know, we speculate mm-hmm. on the stories that we've heard as far as, well, that makes sense. Compared to five other stories we've had about shadow men wearing hats or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are always going to want to share that story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because we understand how weather works now doesn't make it any less fascinating when the Weather Channel has like Tornado Week or whatever. People tune in for that shit
it's
all
like
the time.
Shark Week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
So
you make a good point.
Maybe.
There you go. Thanks for the letter and sharing that, that horrifying experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. By the way, we're all over social media. If you want to join us on your social media of choice, Facebook at Real Ghost Stories Online, Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat, where I regularly play with the filters and make crude messages looking like a pizza or whatever.
Or a doll.
There was a green bean the other day.
Okay.
You open your mouth and peas when flying. I know it was a pea pod, a green bean. I'm slow today. It was a pea pod and peas go flying out of your mouth.
Okay.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, join us on those if you you use them. Rob writes in, hey guys, I had a strange experience during a recent vacation. We spent our time. Did you injure yourself?
I did not injure myself.
Did you bump your microphone into body parts over there?
It got stuck on a piece of a tire. I'll just leave it at that.
Rob, hey guys, had a strange experience during a recent vacation. We spent our time at the pool area to get out of the heat. Got lazy and ordered a bunch of pizza for our room and decided to invite our friends there just to eat pizza and have some drinks. Not a huge fan of whiskey because I hate having hangovers, but I had, and it was what everyone was drinking that night. I was in the room listening to them talk about boring things. I guess guys often sound boring to women when we talk about sports and cars, so I decided to get a few snacks and drinks from the main hotel areas. The price of the stuff from the hotels is a total ripoff. Highly recommend a shop before you get there, but I got enough various items for everyone in the room and got texted to bring drinks to mix with the booze. It was late, took my time, and only one elevator worked, so I guess I was gone long enough for them to get into a deep discussion. When I got by the door, I caught a few words like, you wouldn't believe it, and the church doesn't like to talk about it. When I used the hotel card to open the door, they were quiet when I got in the room. So I brought them a couple bags of junk food, and my girlfriend mentioned I was into spooky stories, so her friend continued. She claimed to be possessed. This caused my girlfriend to laugh because she doesn't believe in any of those things. I had some interest, but I'm still always trying to think of a rational reason for these things. She then told us, so when somebody from the church shows up, the first thing they do is demand the name of whatever is in her. I guess when they identify what it is, they're able to cause a reaction of it. Lady claims that she has no memory of any of it. I guess she sort of blacks out when it happens. As soon as she mentioned that, I put all the booze away because if everyone was drinking too heavily, I didn't want any part of it. Since it was late, I started my typical routine for bed. I overheard them giggle about a few things, but when I was brushing my teeth, I started hearing growling that sounded almost like a bear. I sort of rushed out to see the lady with her eyes rolled back yelling gibberish and my girlfriend laughing. I only went back to rinse my mouth out and grab my car keys. Decided to sleep in the car. Didn't even want to go back in that room for the weekend. The strange part was after I tried texting and calling my girlfriend, who was still in the room, nothing worked, which made me worry, but I started to think that maybe I should be trying to, they're trying to play a trick on me. The joke was on them. It worked. I fell asleep in the car with the radio on, an easy listening station. I was only asleep a few hours and my girlfriend knocked on the window, sort of laughing, but told me she needed to use my phone. For some reason, her battery was completely drained and wouldn't charge. She told me to get back in the room, but I refused. Instead, I told her to wake me up and the hotel was serving breakfast. It didn't shock me when she asked if her friend could stay in our room. She passed out and was trying to find out which room she was staying in. I never went back in the room that weekend. Well, my girlfriend thought it was a funny act. I only went back to gather our belongings in the morning, check out on Sunday. We had to leave. Nothing was wrong with my phone. The reception and Wi-Fi in the hotel room were fine, but after she was around her friend, she never got her phone to work. I still making up excuses that she could have dropped her phone that night, but her screen didn't have a single crack or scratch on it, and we all know that those are the first signs of a dropped phone. Luckily, I got to shower in my swimming trunks and enjoy the hot tub and pool for the rest of the vacation. Even if it was an act, something about it makes me worry that it could invite the real thing. I still managed to enjoy the vacation, didn't get sunburned too bad, and had a story to share out of it. Thanks for reading, guys. Glad the show is doing great.
That's one of those things where you just don't want to play around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If they're just trying to entertain everybody else, that's fine. But when equipment starts to malfunction, like, you know, battery life is, you just can't get it to charge. I mean, that's where you're like, oh, okay, maybe you weren't really possessed, but maybe you might be now,
mm-hmm.
You know? Especially if they start saying names of things and stuff like that.
Yeah, you never really know.
No.
And I guess I question, why is that like a fun act, you know, or why would that not end at some point where you'd be like, okay, I'm just joking around, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, I get if you're joking around for a minute or two, it's like, I'm possessed, you know, mm-hmm. Then done. Okay. But it's like continuing on and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Why? What? Why? Why? What's the point of this?
I don't know. Maybe whiskey made it a good idea. Whiskey makes a lot of things a good idea.
Being possessed, they should put it like as like a warning label. Warning may cause you to act as if possessed by a demon.
Maybe.
Little government warning label on there. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Melissa writes into us, when I was about 10, my parents bought me a whiteboard like the big kind teachers have in their classrooms. I was doodling on it one night when I felt like someone was watching me. It came suddenly and it was a very strong feeling. So started smelling a strong, disgusting odor. Stopped coloring on my whiteboard and turned to see what it was and what the thing I was smelling was. On the edge of my bed, about 5 feet away from me, was this woman with long, dark hair. I couldn't see any arms or legs. She was looking right at me, smiling with a wide-open smile. I'll never forget her eyes. There where her eyes should be were sunken in dark holes. I ran out of my room screaming and crying. I was scared to tell my parents, worried they'd not believe me. After describing the smell and the woman, my dad immediately went in my room, and he said he could smell the odor but did not see anything. He turned on my radio to a Christian music station. About 10 minutes later, he entered, but the radio station was playing nothing but static. He moved the radio to a new part of the room, waited until he had a strong signal, then left. Checked back a few minutes later, and again, nothing but static was coming out of my radio. My mom put on a Christian CD to play on a loop, and when they checked back, it was playing and everything seemed fine. I slept in my parents' room that night, which shares a wall with my room. Around 3:30 a.m., I woke up to silence coming from my bedroom. The CD had stopped playing. I kept hearing this clicking noise coming from my room. I quietly woke up my mom, and we both laid in bed for a couple of minutes listening to the clicking noise. Finally, my mom woke up my dad, and he went to check in the room, and the CD player had been turned over on its side. When my dad tried to play the CD, he felt something strong hit his lower back. It hit him hard enough to not only startle him, but he dropped the CD player. He closed my bedroom door, told us to get up, and said we'd be staying at my uncle's house. My parents brought in a pastor and kept me out of the loop on everything they were doing to my room. They didn't want me to know about any of what was happening. I'm now 24, and whenever I go home to visit, my door is always shut. My mom says she keeps it shut and doesn't enter. I've been in a few times, but never experienced anything other than an extreme drop in temperature.
So, I want to know if she went back to that room.
Like ever?
After they had a pastor come by, mm-hmm. and all that. I mean, I'm assuming they just didn't have spare room to move her to.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, did anything else ever happen? And I don't think I would quite get over things being thrown at me and stuff like that in a room either. I think I might want to keep the door closed too.
Maybe it's just a ghost that really doesn't like Christian rock.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, people can be adverse to types of music, and not for any reason of like content.
Mm-hmm.
This don't like the style, you know, or you know what the music. You know, I could hate polka, for example, or you know, insert genre or type of music here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the dead person, you're the ghost. And you're stuck there, and this is what you have to listen to. I think I might get a little aggressive as well, trying to get that that type of music to end, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I don't know. The long hair, the scraggly long hair woman with the stench might be something a little bit more than just a pissed off ghost.
Maybe she just didn't bathe all that much in life, and that just carries over into death.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stranger things have happened. Or it could be something demonic.
Yeah.
And pretty dark. One of the two. Take your pick. 855-853-4802. Our number, Allison says, good morning, Tony and Jenny. Stumbled across your podcast. We're looking for something different to spice up the workday. I thought I'd listen to ghost stories for just an hour or so to break up the monotony of my overplayed music stations. But I confess, I now find myself addicted. Since I started listening to your podcast, I've been on the fence about sharing my few encounters. I will at some point, but last night I stumbled across one that I wanted to share sooner rather than later. I'm in the midst of compiling family pedigree records from both sides of my adopted family. Most of this has just been a litany of dates, locations, parents, offspring, nothing overly exciting. But last night I found a little blurb taken from a ledger kept by my paternal great-grandfather about his encounter with the paranormal. Back in the 1840s, first a little backstory on my relative. He was one of the many immigrants fleeing Ireland to escape the destitution of the potato famine. He arrived in Florida in August of 1940. For the first 4 years after his arrival, he worked turning a grindstone and then held a position in a hotel in Philadelphia. Thereafter, he and three other Irishmen decided to try their luck in the gold rush. They traveled west by way of New York to the Panama Canal and rode mules across the Panama Isthmus. Did I say that correct?
You did, and I'm proud of you.
There we go. When they arrived in California, they were short on cash, and so the four men had to lodge together, sharing a single bed. It was in this unknown lodging that the paranormal encounter occurred. One of the roommates claimed to have seen a ghost in their room one night. The phantom was in the shape of a woman. By this Irishman's account, she hovered around the room and came up to the bedside several times. So disturbed was he by this encounter that he left for New York the next day. Within 3 days, he was dead. I don't know if my great-grandfather and the others also witnessed the specter or not, but they clearly heard tales of it. It struck me as a curious thing for a man in that situation to note this in his journal. I'll write in at some point with my personal encounters. I'm listening to the back episodes of the podcast, and I'm grateful for your humor and bantering. It really helps to brighten the day. Please keep up the good work. All the best, Allison.
I think it's great when you can find some kind of link to your past and come to find out they had shit happen to you back then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or you've got some kind of family history there of paranormal stuff. I mean, of course, you know, a lot of families have stories passed down, but this is neat. This is like a written account.
To find that is really mm-hmm. very unique.
It is.
A lot of times when you're kind of scanning through that stuff, it's just a lot of records.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of this person was here then, this person was there, and it's based on state records and things of that nature. To actually find a journal and personal entries is very, very cool. So thank you for sharing that with us, and maybe she'll come across more.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Leslie writes, and hi, Tony and Jenny. This is my first time writing to you guys. You guys are fun to listen to. Great show. We'll probably become an EPP very soon. Thank you for that. I was going to share a story about the spooky loft space in a house I once lived in, but it was so long, so I'll call that one in instead. But for now, I'd love to share two small stories about this apartment I lived in prior to that spooky house with the loft. I don't know the history about these apartments or the people who lived there or whatever. All I know is that the town was settled in the 1600s. That's a whole lot of time for shit to go down and leave energy behind. Story one. I was lying in bed one night on the bottom bunk. I reached it. Ow, and I think I pulled something.
Good job. Reaching it.
That hurts. I'm serious. That hurt.
I'm sorry.
The bunk bed bell is way behind me at an odd angle. I'm going to put it back over here where it belongs. I think a specter moved it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Spectre with red hair. It's about 3 foot tall. And says weird things like poopy.
Yeah.
Poopy farts. My sister was on the top bunk, and she was asleep. I was looking around my room. No direction in particular. Just thinking about whatever and trying to go to sleep when I saw a blue light. Almost like a little blue orb. My first thought was, huh, that's strange. What is that? Started looking around my room to see if I could pinpoint what was giving off the blue light, but I had nothing in my room with a blue-red LED light. Also, I noticed this blue light was moving. Also, it wasn't on my wall. It was floating. I stared at it, not feeling scared, more curious and mesmerized, as it softly faded. After some research, I found that some believe the blue orb is a guardian angel or spirit. Story number two, I was in my kitchen making lunch or a snack. The layout of our apartment was I could look out over the entire living room from that kitchen. My sisters, I have three, and my mom are all in their rooms napping except for my little sister. She was about 2 at the time. And last I checked on her, she was watching a kiddie show, sipping in her sippy cup in my parents' room, which was opposite of where me and my sister slept on the other side of the apartment. I looked down, and whatever snack I was fixing up, when I saw my sister run from my parents' room, past the living room, towards me and my sister's rooms. Instantly, I thought, oh no, they're sleeping. I chased the kid saying, Nikki, shh, come here, they're sleeping. But opening my sister's rooms, my baby sister was nowhere to be found. Took a step back, like, what the hell? Went to my parents' room, where I was already freaking out. If I saw my baby sister in the same spot, then what the hell did I just see Chase? Sure enough, my little sister was dozing off in the same spot I last saw her in. My older sister said she had also seen this little kid or energy spirit thing at the place. What are your thoughts on the blue orb? Also, on energy and souls, do you think it's our energy we leave behind and our souls go to wherever our next destination is? Thanks for giving us a chance to share our stories and hear others. I'll definitely write in and call to share all the other weird stuff that's happened.
I don't know about orbs. I mean, sometimes you get a bad feeling and it's an ominous color, but sometimes you can get a bad feeling and it's not an ominous color. So I don't know if a blue orb is less threatening than a red orb or not.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think energy is energy a lot of times. I think sometimes folks who are more sensitive can pick up colors beyond just, I guess, what the average person would see, mm-hmm. and pick up on the energy of it better than the average individual. But I don't know if the colors mean all that much. I mean, so I think I put it into the category of the shadow people thing.
Yeah.
Not all shadow people are bad. Mm-hmm. It's just how it's projecting itself. And I think that's the case a lot of times with orbs.
Yeah.
So as far as the energy and the little girl that was running through there, it's something where I think it could be either or. I think there are times where the living can project themselves out. Mm-hmm. And that... She may have been having a nap, and in that nap, it was some sort of astral projection, if you will. She may have been running through that room.
Yeah.
And that's the energy you saw go through there. I mean, just like some of the stories we've had of someone having a dream, they were walking by their childhood campfire area, seeing a family having a campfire there, comes to find out that family she saw in the dream, one of the children saw her in that her dream, mm-hmm. there, and she was there. So I think the living can also be ghosts, if you will.
Yeah.
if you want to call them that. But it's a fairly wide spectrum of what we define as ghosts. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for listening to the show. Help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all we ask. Or you can sign up for a full year. Get one of those months absolutely free. And we still got them.
Lots and lots of bunk bed bells.
Bunk bed bells.
Mm-hmm.
Get one when you sign up for a yearly membership. When you let me know that you did that, you just email me and then I can get one out to you. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps this thing afloat. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.